What lies in the depths of an ancient body of water? What Scottish beast still sparks heated debates to this day? What would you do if you saw a long-neck water giant? Today we test the believability of the Loch Ness Monster.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual,
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode, on this fine Tuesday summer month.
Big time episode, the Scottish beast.
Yeah, yeah.
So, when you said, what would you do if you saw it? Well, can I drown this one, or is it like the Kelpies, where they recommend not drowning the horse?
I don't think you could drown the Loch Ness Monster, because
that's true.
I think breathe water.
Joke's on me. She would drown me underwater.
Yeah, she might eat your ass.
I'd be like one hors d'oeuvre on a platter of hors d'oeuvres, I feel like, for her. She's so big.
This episode has been voted in by our Patreons.
That's
which is
right.
Cool.
Yeah, so on our Patreon, we have a quiz, and I won the quiz, so Charlie had to put this topic or a topic up for debate. And our patrons chose
the Loch Ness Monster.
It's a big one.
Huge one.
Yeah.
I did not see this coming. I thought this would not win.
Well, you gave it a 33% chance when you put it in there.
I guess that's true. Yep. You're right. But I was also excited to tackle it to see how I'd do this. So I've portioned this up into a couple sections.
Into a well-balanced podcast.
Yeah. It's got its starches, its meats.
You can leave me off the meat part.
The vegetables. Lots of vegetables.
I do want to say really quick, now we're back to recording in real time. And by that, I mean this is timely. It's relevant. So I will be getting to the experience I had when I was on vacation and I was posting about it in our Instagram stories. I will get to that on the back end of this episode because I don't want to take away from any good Nessiness.
Nessiness. All right. That being said, let's dive into the lock.
The lock.
So, Loch Ness is a large, extremely deep body of water in the Scottish Highlands.
But not too deep.
No, about the perfect measurements.
The perfect depth.
788 feet deep, or 240 meters for those people that are not Americans.
Mm-hmm. They're out there.
Yeah, there's a couple. But I did want to point that out. It's the depth is relevant because this, I think that's pretty deep.
I don't know how big Lake Erie is. I know it's the shallowest of all the Great Lakes, and I'm just going because we're in Northeast Ohio. I don't know how deep Lake Erie is and comparing that to
like Loch Ness.
I don't think it matters though because it means nothing to me anyways. I'm not good at that type of spatial recognition or depth recognition. Like when you go to Cedar Point and they're like, it's 400 feet in the air at the top thrill. I'm like, it's high. It's high.
Sometimes how many heads up is it?
It's misty and you can't see it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I have no way of like knowing.
I know. My parents have a pool and it's like 4.5 or 5 feet. And that's pretty good for me. Like I don't have to really worry about drowning unless something bad would have to happen for me to drown in that pool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Nessie feels that way about 700. And
maybe. That's an interesting idea.
Nobody's asked.
I can't find her to ask. There are several like rivers and tributaries coming off of the Loch Ness, too, including the River Ness.
The river? Is there a River Ness monster?
It's
just an eel.
Well, that's actually, we'll get into that later.
Okay. The Loch Ness monster.
Yeah, it's strapped. So Loch Ness is actually, it's kind of long and thin, like the actual lake, is kind of like a knife.
Oh,
like it's really long and thin, not what I envisioned at all.
No, I imagine like a circle or an oval.
Yeah,
you know,
something like that. But no, it's kind of like a gorge, which is interesting.
Man, let's do an episode on that. Let's just do an episode where we differentiate what a river is, what a gorge is, what a lake is, what a pond is. That sounds really exciting.
It sounds riveting, honestly.
If there's a way you could tie in history, I think you would jump on it.
Oh, man. Believing the bodies of water.
They're all believable. No, we could do, is it man-made or was it naturally occurring?
And in Loch Ness, there are actually lots of caverns underneath, like, the surrounding area.
Like tunnels.
Yeah, like underwater like tunnels. Some people think there are tunnels that even connect to the ocean.
Oh.
Which
oh.
is interesting.
Ah, like an escape route yes. or an entrance.
And we'll get into how that ties into Nessie. I'm just trying to give you, like, a layout of the loch before we get into the actual conversation about her.
Underwater tunnels that end up leading up somewhere where you can breathe blows my mind.
Me too.
Have you ever seen those movies where it's like Journey to the Center of the World?
Yes.
And then they go underground and then they somehow come up and there's like a sky and stuff and different climate.
Yeah.
Like, how does that even work?
I know. Yeah, that's insane. Like, how come the water doesn't fill up there?
I this can't even be a tangent because I can't speak on it. It's okay. just mind-blowing.
So, really quick, there is a house that sits on Loch Ness. It's called the Bullskin House. This was owned by Aleister Crowley and Jimmy Page, the guitarist from Led Zeppelin. But Aleister Crowley is a very interesting occult figure from the past. He was also known as the most evil man alive ever.
Really?
Yeah. He actually did many occult kind of rituals in this house. Some people think that's what's kind of turned this place that was already a place in Scottish folklore into like this portal.
That seems like a completely different thing. You know what I mean? It's like when two random happenstance things just happen to coincidentally be taking place at the same time.
Yes, it does.
Because I don't see how Nessie would be related to the ritual stuff, but that doesn't mean, like, they're not, like, they could both coexist separately. It's just ironic that, you know.
Well, it depends if you think Nessie is spiritual or a physical being.
I, in my life, have never considered her to be spiritual.
I've never really thought it would be possible for her to be physical.
Just you never thought she could be physical?
Yeah, I always She's thought always it'd be been a spiritual spirit. Thing
Just
to
a
me.
Big old ghost whale dinosaur thing.
Or like a spirit of the lake.
The spirit of the lake.
That's kind of what I always thought. But we'll get more into that later. So maybe Aleister Crowley in his years that lived there from 1899 to 1913, maybe he opened this rift, and that's why more people are starting to point out things they've seen in the loch.
More so, people have been seeing other things other than Nessie.
Kelpies.
Oh.
Kelpies are known to be over Loch Ness.
Interesting. He's like doing all this ritual stuff. He's trying to get like Satan out. And then this huge whale thing is like, hey, what's going on?
So now that's kind of like the setting. We got like the table set for the actual meal.
The forks.
Of Loch Ness.
Yeah, monster. Salad knife. You don't have to need a salad knife. A knife, the salad fork, the other fork. A
soup spoon.
Soup spoon. 5-course meal here, Loch Ness. You did say it was going to be a well-balanced episode.
I did. I did indeed. So I just want to say that I saw Monster Quest about the Loch Ness Monster. And this guy, he's an older man. He's an older man describing his experience when he saw the Loch Ness Monster in the 70s. This guy,
1870s or 1770s?
I think he was like 50 in the 70s. His name was Robert Rhyme, and he's got like 80-something patents on sonar technology.
On sonar technology?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he is still into the Loch Ness Monster. In 2005, he did a sonar sweep of the bottom of Loch Ness.
Oh, that's, see, this is exactly where I was going to go with this.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
I know, but this is what I was going to ask, so I'm glad you're answering it without me asking.
Okay, he did a sonar sweep of the bottom of Loch Ness, and he claims he found the remains of something that might have been the Loch Ness Monster. And that was in 2005. There might be an explanation for that. If there are multiples, right? Because people are still seeing this thing.
Yeah. So people, this kind of feels like aliens to me. Like, I think it was the last episode where I was saying, like, how come in the earlier decades there were all these experiences? And now, what's the most recent Nessie sighting?
Oh, man. I know there's one from 2016.
Really?
I have a whole article in here. We can look at that. But there's a bunch of recent ones.
I saw that fake one at that lake that I posted in our Instagram stories, which was pretty cool. That when you were talking about the sonar, obviously, I don't think that was as much about sound. But did you hear about the bloop? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
It's called bloop, where they caught that like really really loud noise and they had no idea what it was.
I think
they said it was like in the middle of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Probably was just a tectonic plate. I think everything's just tectonic plates now.
Could be an iceberg or something.
Yeah, it's like, wait, global warming.
So I just wanted to point that out for Monster Quest. That guy is really invested and he's been doing a lot of research.
And he's old. I think that was...
He's also very wealthy because of all his patents. So her legacy, Nessie was first seen or documented about in the 6th century, the year 569, by an Irish missionary who claimed to be attacked, St. Columba. He was in the river Ness, and he claimed to be attacked by Nessie, basically. And then some people say he defeated it, and some people said he ran away, but...
He defeated it with, what, his bare hands?
Yeah, I don't know, a sword, I don't know.
He dated her and broke her heart, and that's how we know it was a girl.
I like that. In Scottish folklore, she's been around just in...
Oh, she's been around.
She's been around just in like, people talking about her, just like, oh, okay. Oh, there's a giant thing in the lake, you know.
Giant thing in the lake. That's like a newspaper headline.
Giant thing in the lake. Newspaper spins like Spider-Man.
You're all about it. Giant monster whale thing.
So, what do people think Nessie actually is? So, I have three theories about what Nessie actually is.
Okay.
One, Nessie is a dinosaur.
That's the one I always kind of bought into. Like, if I were to believe this to be true, I think, and I haven't heard the other two yet. I'm assuming you're going to go spiritual for one. But this is the one that made sense to me. It was just kind of like that species of dinosaur that just didn't go extinct.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's weird.
Is it?
I think it's strange. Before I list them out, let's talk about the dinosaur. So some people claim that the Loch Ness Monster is a descendant of the Plesiosaurus, which is a dinosaur. It's got like four flaps. It's kind of cute. But if it's a dinosaur...
Are you hitting on Nessie?
Absolutely.
Christopher Columbus or whatever his name is, you're not going to be happy about that.
I know, right? But yeah, that's what people say that she kind of looks like.
Has anybody actually seen her bottom, though?
Like, full body?
I feel like this is just inappropriate. But I feel like what I've seen is always, like, the humps and her head or just her, like, long neck. Almost like a Brachiosaurus. Obviously, that's not what's underneath. But... Under what circumstances, unless she's doing tricks out there like Shamu, do you see the entire thing?
I saw one picture that the water was kind of, she was really high up and the water was kind of translucent and you can kind of see a body around it.
She was drifting off to sleep, got a little too close to shore. She's like, wait,
yeah.
This is too knife-shaped, like a gorge.
Yes, exactly.
I'm uncomfortable.
So they claim she's a Plesiosaurus. So either a small clan of these kinds of dinosaurs got trapped in the lock as it was being formed,
mm-hmm.
or they use these tunnels that go out to the ocean, and I think that they use Loch Ness as kind of like salmon going to a breeding ground, and they have their calves there. Because there's a picture of a Loch Ness monster with like a little one, like a little calf. So it could be that there's like a small clan trapped in this lock, or... They use these tunnels and go out, and they live in the ocean, really, but sometimes they come back and breed. Now, I have a piece of evidence that was found this year in 2021. There was an egg found on another lake, or what they think is an egg found on another lake.
By, like, researchers, or?
They sent it off to a scientist. Not a researcher didn't find it.
Yeah.
But they sent it to, like, a scientist.
And he had a great breakfast that day. So I don't know what it was, but this is delicious. It's a lot of protein. I know the well balanced. So, how big was this thing? Did it say?
It was like...
No, they can't see, man. They can't see.
I know. It was like...
It looked like you're milking a cow. What were you doing there?
I'm just trying to think, like, hand size.
Like a fist?
Yeah, it was like a fist size. It was big.
No plesiosaurus is having an egg the size of a human fist.
You don't think so?
That's too tiny. Those things are big. Too tiny.
That's
unbelievable.
Interesting.
I was thinking it was like an egg the size of like a Subaru.
No, not that big. No. But that kind of leads that idea that there's other monsters seen in other areas of the world, in lakes, and these tunnels are connected to the ocean, right? So it leads to this idea that this lock is not the only place these monsters are being seen and breeding.
You know, a not monster could have a fist-sized egg, right?
That's true.
You get some goose that's hopped up on McDonald's, feeling himself a little bit chunky, leaving a fist-sized egg there.
Oh, man. Like a double yolk.
Yeah. A lot of diabetes there, a lot of cholesterol. But so what makes them think that egg is of, like, I guess I'm not an egg expert, so I don't know. But when they saw this, and for them to take it and send it to a scientist, I wonder what about it made it seem like...
It was of unknown origin, as they said. So it...
And it still hasn't hatched?
No.
They still haven't.
It's only in April.
What? How long do eggs take?
I don't know.
They sitting on it?
A while? I don't know, man. I don't know if incubation is the right way to do it. Maybe it would be like, I don't know, like fish eggs that kind of just leave them in the pouch, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if they should have left it there and just kind of kept an eye on it. But you know how scientists and researchers be. They're all grabby.
Mm-hmm. They are grabby.
So now, okay, so... I hate to take a couple steps back, but I didn't want to mess up your flow. So when the old man got the sonar on the bottom,
yeah,
nobody was like, let's investigate. They were like, that's interesting. We'll give you a patent for it. Bye. Like, did anybody try to see if that was...
Like the thing that he found on the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
The Monster Quest, they sent down like little...
Oh, really?
Provide. Yeah.
And what did they discern?
I think it was a tree.
Oh, wow.
Not to be really...
Anticlimactic?
Yeah, it was a tree. Yeah.
They gave him a patent for the tree.
They said, go to bed. Take some pills, go to bed. So yeah, that's the dinosaur theory. Those are the only way it makes sense to me that Nessie could be a dinosaur and still be alive. Because it couldn't be one creature from the 6th century to now. Yeah,
well, no. Because dinosaurs are millions and millions of years ago. And for it to be without breeding, I mean, like, I know some tortoises live a long time and parrots and stuff, but not. So, yeah, I think that's, but there's a buy-in to it if you believe that they're leaving through the tunnels. It's like, why would they come back? That seems a little weird, but there are animals that choose certain spots to breed.
Right. So, like, just like salmon, they go from the ocean. Mm-hmm. To fresh water to breed.
Yeah, and some sea turtles have like certain spots and penguins and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can see that one. I can see that one.
Yeah, so let's move on to the next one. What I always considered Nessie, a spirit.
Mm.
I always thought Nessie was kind of like a spirit watching over the lock. I don't think I mentioned this. I mentioned this earlier. The house where Aleister Crowley practices rituals and Jimmy Page burned down twice. One in 2015, one in 2019.
That's interesting.
Isn't that? Yeah.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I didn't see the cause.
Like, burned down and completely rebuilt, I wonder? Or if it was just kind of like semi...
Really bad damaged, it said. Yeah. So really badly damaged.
Had to buy new curtains.
So Nessie as a spirit.
Yeah.
It's an interesting theory to me. So like I mentioned before, right? Kelpies have been around the lock forever. Kelpies have been reported in the forests and the rivers in the area, and also the loch itself.
I think you need to draw me a map, because we're talking about the loch, we're talking about the highlands and mm-hmm. all this stuff. Like, it's just all this, it's basically the Shire to me. Like, I have no footing, no grounding, no bearings in this. I feel like I need you to draw me a map.
I could show you on Google Maps if you want.
Yeah,
you just want me to hand draw it?
Yes.
It's not going to be good.
With shading and detail and kelpies.
Nessie is a spirit, so like, kelpies are all around, and I think, so the idea that Nessie is a spirit is kind of like this, like, guardian creature of the lock.
Making sure there's no, like, those plastic parts that used to, like, the soda cans that you see a turtle's choking.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And okay, so maybe Crowley's rituals open this portal wider, because Nessie really started to gain traction in the 30s.
The ritual is just the Green New Deal. No litter lock.
And from that, it was able to be seen more often because it was coming and going in an easier way. And that would explain why there's only one Loch Ness Monster. It doesn't have to reproduce. It doesn't have to.
Okay, because it's not of this.
Yeah, it's just one kind of eternal kind of being.
That's like the scary, like, if you think, you know how the scary movies, there's always like the first 5 minutes, the lead in is what they call it, where like something scary happens and then it goes to the day and you figure out what the character is. But there's always normally a death. It's like somebody's just walking along the lock with a candy bar and then they take the wrapper and they throw it in the water. And then, kind of like the T-Rex, you just see the water, like, start getting disturbed. And then the Loch Ness Monster just comes up and starts punching the dude in the face. Like, there's no littering in my lock.
With its flippers?
I'm the spirit. The spirit of this water.
Yes. I like that idea. But that's the idea of Nessie as a spirit. Just this thing that was able to take advantage of this portal with all this magic around it anyway.
Do you think it has, do you think it's the portal though? Or do you think, like, because the portal, what year did the person live in the house and do the ritual stuff?
1899 to 1913.
Well, isn't that 1300 years before its first appearance though?
I'm saying it was able to do it before that. It was just harder. And then after this, these rituals occurred, it was easier. And that's why it was started to pick up traction in the late 1900s.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry, early 1900s.
Or maybe gave it more energy or power.
Yeah,
or
exactly. Like yeah.
So, but do you think it was just naturally the guardian of that lock?
I do, yeah. I think it was already there naturally.
Do you think all water has a spirit?
Most locks in the Highlands have some association with spirits. Mostly Kelpies.
Do you think my parents' pool has a spirit? Because if it does, it hates insects, because there's always dead insects in that pool, unless it's offering.
I think it's man-made, so...
Okay.
No, probably. So this is number three.
Is it aliens?
No, it's not aliens.
There's no aliens in this episode?
Mm-mm. The third is the most scientific explanation.
I'll probably buy it, then.
Do you remember in the quiz, we talked about the fish... that is most abundant to the Loch Ness?
We did.
Do you remember what it is?
Eels.
Eels.
Yeah, this is... if you go to our Patreon, there's a quiz on this episode.
Yes. The most abundant... one of the most abundant fish in Loch Ness are eels. In 2018, they did a DNA test of the lake, and they found...
it was 100% that bitch.
It's too easy. They found a lot of eel DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no catfish, there's no sturgeon, because those fish are not native to that lake.
Well, I'll just give away the quiz now. I guess if you already give the answer, it doesn't really matter.
That's true. I'm just saying.
But so wait, what did they test?
The DNA of the lake, like things that lived in the lake. They also couldn't find any shark DNA, like no sharks that can live in the freshwater too.
Tiger shark?
No. It was the bee.
Big shark?
Bully sharks. They take your lunch money.
Bala sharks?
Bull sharks.
Bull.
Yeah, they couldn't find any shark DNA, no plesiosaurus DNA.
Yeah, I used to have a bala shark, and because it was a bala, I named it Big Smoke. Shout out GTA San Andreas. But back to the sharks.
There was no sharks.
Yeah, no sharks.
So, my point being here, so maybe the Loch Ness Monster is a giant eel.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a big eel.
Like a big eel. And they said, the scientists that did this DNA test, there's no reason why this DNA that is linked to an eel couldn't be giant.
Yeah, I have a hard time, and I don't know the structure of a big eel, but when you see it like raising its head out of the water, can an eel do that?
Yes. I believe it can, especially if it's giant.
Yeah, I guess that's just a little bit of it, but...
But yeah, that's science explanation for... the giant eel, Loch Ness Monster. But maybe it's some kind of eel that's evolved to look more like a plesiosaur. It could still have that DNA of an eel, but have the more of a characteristics of this plesiosaur type.
Yeah. Or four, it's just eels and people mistake it from a distance as a big old beast.
I could be that too.
Has anybody found a huge eel that kind of fits with what they're talking about?
Like a body of one?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
No. So I've got some eyewitness testimony here.
Yes.
This first one is from the best source, Reddit.
Yes.
I was on a boat when I saw it, and the sun was just setting, turning the whole sky pink and orange. I saw it, but Lord knows it didn't see me. It was like an eel with a head of an alligator and the sharpest damn teeth. The whole thing glistened with that nasty slime of a fish. Then just like that, it was gone. And that's it. That was really short.
Sounds like something somebody would write in intro to fiction writing class, but like they forgot the assignment and they're in the hall and there's still like 5 minutes left before the class before them ends. They're like, I'm going to throw some fancy, not fancy, but pretty words in there. I'll talk about the sky to really set the scene.
Man, that's really, really accurate description of that.
I've been there.
Oh man, I like that one. Let's move on to, I've got an article from... the
500s.
No, the Daily Record. And it's like the eight most recent Loch Ness sightings.
Oh, nice.
Don't have pictures in the email, but I have pictures. If you want to see them before or after I read them, let me know.
Yeah.
So this first eyewitness is 58-year-old Ian Brimman, and he was driving the Highlands, and he was searching for a red deer in 2016.
What was he going to do to that red deer?
He was going to take a picture of it.
Okay. You know, has he heard of Google? We could have helped him out. We could have sent him one.
But instead of finding a red deer to take a picture of, he found what he claims to be the Loch Ness Monster.
Kind
of
cooler. A little
yeah.
bit cooler.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's like a deer posing. He's like, I'm over here.
Yeah, yeah, but he's like, no, I get the Loch Ness Monster.
Yes.
So I'm not going to do an insulting Scottish accent because I can't do it.
That's one of the ones I can't.
No. So he said, this is the first time I've ever seen Nessie in the loch. I would be amazing if I was the first one to find her. I'm normally a bit of a skeptic when it comes to Nessie. I think it's just something for the tourist, but I'm starting to think that there's something out there.
They said I would be amazing?
Yeah. I'd be fantastic if I was the first one.
I'd be so dope.
A tour guide and an author, Ricky D. Phillips, saw and took a picture of what he described as a mysterious creature with a neck of 4 feet and a head the size of a rugby ball.
He was like, see, with a name like Ricky, this sounds like he's got a southern accent.
Ricky D.
Yeah, it's like, it has a long neck, like 4 feet, and then like a rugby ball on top.
Yeah, he's like, it definitely got a rugby ball.
Yeah. Okay.
He said, I looked up from my phone and saw a long, straight neck, all completely gray, and a narrow face, which was only about 20 feet away, and as it turned, it disappeared. I looked down, and I realized that it was in my picture, so I zoomed in, and there it was. Actually, it looks like a giant bird or a peacock in the face, with high ridges above its eyes, with almost like a beak. And that's how he's describing the face.
What kind of rugby balls are they using? A narrow rugby ball with high cheekbones? Is it a model rugby ball?
Yeah, it's a model. It takes pictures.
You know why I find this believable? Because dude was on his phone. He was on his phone and they looked up and he saw. That's so believable. Was he also driving? So you just showed me the photo from the last one because I was going to ask.
Yeah.
You showed me it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, wait a minute. So he thinks he sees this thing, and then it's in his phone, his camera. I'm like, did he not press the button? It's grainy, but I will say, dude, look at it really quick on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It has a shadow.
Yeah.
So this thing, whatever it is protruding from the water. Like, mm-hmm. That's not a log. Like, if you look at the shadow underneath the head, or what he's presuming to be the head, the way that the shadow comes off of it shows that this thing is sticking up and looking in that direction out of the water. So, while it might not be true, I will say that that is at least some evidence to support that idea or that photo.
And this last eyewitness, this is probably my favorite picture. This is this one. David Elder believes that he got Nessie in 2013. So, Elder from East Kildebridge said, out of the corner of my eye, I caught sight of a black area of the water about 15 feet long, which developed into kind of a bow wave. Water was definitely going over something solid, making it a wave.
See, this one I think could be more perspective. Like, one could just be a wave and the shadow of a wave, and the other one could be like a log or something. I can see what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think that one's a lot more flat.
I like that one, though. I like that one a lot. So those are the eyewitnesses' accounts. Like, they're still happening.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Because they haven't stopped them in 2005, where Bob Ryan thought that Nessie died. Bob, the sonar guy.
But just a tree, Bob.
Yeah, right. But let's end. Let's talk about the surgeon's photo. So the most famous evidence is the surgeon photo. It was taken in 1934 by a well-respected genealogist on vacation from London, a man named Robert Wilson. However, some claim this is not the whole story. In 1933, the Daily Mail, the newspaper in London, was trying to get someone to get a picture of the Loch Ness Monster. They hired this guy, Marmaduke Weatherall.
Yeah.
Marmaduke Weatherall, who used to be a big game hunter, to get a picture of the Loch Ness Monster. He went up to the loch, and he looked for about a month or so, and eventually he found a footprint of something, and he took a cast of it and sent it to the Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the story?
No, okay. No, I'm intrigued. I'm just trying to imagine me in my life telling my friends and family, posting a Facebook status. Hey, going to search for the Loch Ness Monster for the next month. Don't try and reach out to me. Be very busy.
Well, like I said, he was a big game hunter, and he used a hippopotamus foot that was an ashtray to make his cast. And the Smithsonian said they figured shit out with it all.
Oh, so it was clearly a fake.
Yes. And the idea behind the surgeon's photo is that Weatherall got his stepson to make this device, a toy submarine attached with a dinosaur's head to float, so it looks like there's something sticking out of the water.
Mm.
And he took a picture of it near the shores. And the reason it's the surgeon's photo is because he got this guy, Robert Wilson, to play along because he, quote unquote, likes practical jokes, which I think is kind of flimsy personally. But that's the idea behind the whole surgeon's photo, is that this guy Weatherall was taking his revenge on making this practical joke.
Right.
His stepson, Christopher Sperling, came out a couple years ago, well, many years at this point, and said that it was a fake because he was the one that made it.
Interesting. So you're pretty confident in the fact that the most famous photo is a fake.
Yeah, I am.
That's a bummer.
It is. It really is.
Or it's real, and that guy is just pissed that he didn't find it, so he's trying to discredit it.
That's another theory.
I don't know if I believe that theory. I just, yeah.
Yeah, but so that's the story behind the surgeon's photo, the
most famous one. There's a lot of egos. A lot of egos and big game hunting.
Yeah. Money's on the line with the Daily Mail, too, so I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I buy it, but.
No, well, on day 28 and you got a family to feed, that hippopotamus leg starts looking real good.
Yeah. Well, we did see some other really interesting pictures.
Yeah.
From recently. But anyway, that's the Loch Ness Monster in a nutshell. Would you like to discuss?
Let's do it.
So Tyler, do you think the Loch Ness Monster is a dinosaur, a spirit, or an eel?
Or fake, right?
Or fake.
Ha. How are we doing this believability scale, by the way?
So if you think the beast is alive somehow through science, through genetics, through a past dinosaur or magic, then you think it's believable. But if okay. You don't think there's any way it could exist, it's unbelievable.
I got you. I don't buy, and I know this is your favorite, I don't buy the spirit thing. Maybe it's, I didn't have... For you, obviously, this must have been something that just made sense from the get-go, because you thought that was the case before you even researched it. For me, I always thought it was just like an ancient dinosaur beast that just somehow survived over the years and is still around. So that's the one that I'm latching onto the most. The eel one I could see. And maybe it was another creature that had, you know, that mated with an eel and then it created this thing. Or what they're seeing are just multiple eels. You know, the eel theory, I think, holds weight. But I think it holds weight if I were to believe this to be fake. I don't know if I believe there's this huge eel that is the Loch Ness Monster. But I think if you are talking about how abundant eels are in the area and you think people in the right state of mind, or maybe the wrong state of mind, mistake it as a Loch Ness Monster, as something bigger than it is, that I would lean into. But I'm not going to worry about that right now, because we're talking about specifically Loch Ness Monster, whether or not it's real. So for me, that leaves the dinosaur theory, and I like this one. I don't know how it survived so long, unless, like you were saying, with the tunnels, it was mating, it leaves, it goes out in the ocean, it does this thing. I mean, the ocean is huge.
Yeah.
Like, space is hard to conceptualize, but even here on our home turf, Mother Earth, I like that. Even here, like, oceans, how deep they are, how much is in out there. Like, I don't know if it's true or not, but people put percentages out there, and it's so minuscule of what we've actually searched of our own oceans. You know what I mean?
I've heard it's like 20%.
Yeah, like upper teens in percentages. That's a lot. There could be a lot out there, a lot down there. So, is it that hard? Don't have the frame of reference that there were dinosaurs, this asteroid came, and then just this one dinosaur happened to sneak by. This could have been something that was completely unaffected, living at the depths of the ocean, that is just, there's not many of them. They're rare. They don't come up that often. and they just happen to somehow have some type of kinship or some reason to keep going back to this area. And maybe they haven't been there. I mean, they could have been spotted there one time, never went back, but it got notoriety from that. You know what I mean? Like, they might not still be going back there. They might be extinct now. But if I'm going to believe in this and I think and try and make sense of it, how it could be possible, I think it's an old dinosaur-like whale fish eel thing that went through the tunnels. How big were the tunnels? They must have been big enough.
Yeah, they're big enough. They're yeah.
Imagine it getting stuck. Like, what if you went?
Gosh.
Dude, imagine a submarine going down there to investigate, and you just see this skeleton, this huge skeleton in the tunnel. So obviously the skeleton could go through, but with its flesh, like knowing that this Loch Ness monster was real. And it died because it got stuck.
That'd be so sad.
Really, really sad. Actually, heartbreaking. But also just like kind of like a mind-blowing discovery.
Yeah, for sure. That's so sad.
Before I give my rating, so obviously I think you lean spirit, but you also did more research. You're well versed
yeah.
in the Loch Ness rhymes. So lay it down on me. What are you thinking?
I actually, from the research, I think if anything, it's what you just described. I think if anything, it's the dinosaur thing. I think that's the most logical explanation to what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to hear what you say.
You're going to throw out a ditto.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, I swayed myself from the spiritual.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a viable. I don't think, if I thought it was still alive, still right now, you know, more evidence, I would go believable. I believe that it could have been. I believe that this ancient dinosaur-like creature could have found its way to Loch Ness and been spotted. I don't know if it's still around, but there's so much that hasn't been explored in the oceans that I don't think I could go. I'm somewhere between skeptical and viable. Let me put it that way. I'm not unbelievable. I'm not there at believable. But I'm going to stay positive about it. I'm going to give it some credibility because it's a physical thing. It's, you know, I'm going to say viable. Yeah, I'll leave it at that for now.
Okay. I'd like to see more consistency in actual evidence. I think you could find, if it was like a birthing ground, you could find remnants of that, remnants of like shells and eggs or whatever. Or even if there were multiple of them, you could find more remains. So I think with that, I'm going to go with skeptical.
That's totally fair. And like I said, I'm not going believable because I don't know if necessarily it's around now or... I'm just saying the possibility that at least one time some prehistoric dinosaur-like fish thing that was seen there, I can buy into that. So we got to believe, we got a viable, we got a skeptical Loch Ness monster. Before we get to the thank yous and blah, 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 I want to talk about my experience because last week's episode was pre-recorded, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it. And I posted about it that night on our Instagram stories when it happened. So those of you that follow us on Instagram, you know what I'm talking about. And I called Charlie like immediately after it happened. So I was going for a walk on my vacation and I saw these blinking lights over the ocean. And I was just like, oh, there's a lot of planes. And that was that for that night. So then the next night, we were playing games. I think it was like Jackbox or Jack TV.
Jack TV.
We were playing Drawful. Love Drawful. We had it hooked up to the TV. Everybody can play. You know, it's fun. It's not super. It's not super competitive. Good time. So we're done with the game. And it was like, I told Claire, I was like, hey, you know, there were a lot of stars last night before we lock up and everything. Let's go. I want to go see if there's any stars out there. So we go outside and those blinking lights are over the ocean again. I'm like, oh, look, I told you about those planes. Here they are. And the first thing is we noticed that the path of the blinking lights was strange. They like stopped going the same direction. Like you'd follow a blinking light across the sky and it'd be going from left to right. And then the next thing you know, it starts going right to left. So that was like one of the first strange things. And then they started lighting up really, really bright red, like super bright red. And it like went in like a circular motion, like the first bright red light went around in like a circle and then it disappeared. And then like 2 inches in the sky, like from my perspective, 2 inches. I don't know how far in real life, but from my perspective, 2 inches, there was another super, super bright red light, and then it faded out. And then another 2 inches away, there's a super bright red light that then separated into three singular red lights, and that went out. And I just was there. I remember my mouth was literally hanging open because it was literally just like, let's walk outside, look at the stars. We were out there for like 5 minutes. So out of the whole day, the whole night, we just happened to go out there for the 5 minutes that this happened. And I was just like, what in the world? So I'm looking around. I got my phone out. Obviously, it doesn't happen again. I look around. There were fireworks way on one end of the island that we were at, but they were really small. They were white, and it wouldn't have got over where I was at in the ocean, and it was so far out. So the only logical explanation I have that is like, I was thinking drones maybe, but I don't know what on a drone. Okay, two logical things. One, maybe a drone, but I don't know how it got that bright red light. Two, we did see like military jets and during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe those were flares. Maybe they were doing something with flares. But at the same time, I don't know how a military jet, I don't think they were the ones that were blinking like that. And I don't think that they would change direction. And somebody suggested that it was like those Starlink things that people were seeing on the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a perfect chain of lights. Like it wasn't like perfectly like one light space, one light space, one light space, one, and then in like a row. So I looked up that video and it was cool, really cool, the Starlink, but it wasn't that. But it's crazy. You won't see the red lights, but if you go to YouTube and you search like Holden Beach, North Carolina UFOs, you can actually see the blinking lights that I saw, which is really cool. In the video, they don't light up. And I honestly, I think if you're just walking around, you see those lights, you're just like, oh, they're planes. But that is what I saw that turned into the red lights, which is pretty cool.
That is very neat.
So no, I called you immediately. I was freaking out. It was just, and I did see the rocket launch. So I was already in that mindset of like seeing cool things in the sky, but I really was just like, let's just look at some stars. But when I saw it, like the circular motion is a red flag, and it's just, I don't know, even if it's a military or a drone, what could have made those super, super bright red lights in the sky?
And
the fact it's separated from one thing into three.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of like, I'm imagining reading this story and I'm like, okay, there's some some telling signs that lead to aliens, you know, mm-hmm. But I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying it was crazy. And my mouth was like open. I was like, what did we just see in these 3 minutes we came outside? But I appreciate everybody who isn't getting engaged with that. A lot of people sent ideas. A lot of people thought military and government totally could be. But
absolutely. I think it definitely could be government.
Oh, yeah. So I appreciate everybody's feedback on that. I wasn't doing it to try and like, this will get some Instagram engagement. I was literally like, not freaking out, but it's when you get so excited about something,
yeah,
and you can't keep it in. And Claire was like, I'm going to bed. That was cool, but I'm going to bed. And I called you and I was like, I got to get this out there. And you guys are the perfect community to talk about it with. So I appreciate everybody getting back, but I'll let you get to your closing comments now.
Okay. But yeah, that's a fun story that Tyler experienced. Thank you again for listening to the Loch Ness Monster episode. Not one of my favorite cryptids. I think it's just so
tried.
Like, yeah, done. Yeah. It's everyone knows
the
Loch Ness Monster.
It's the road most traveled.
It's like the big three: Sasquatch, Loch Ness Monster, and Mothman.
Yeah, our Patreon pretty much put a gun to your head and said,
"Yeah, they did." And well, I'm glad I did it because it came out really interesting.
Through that word,
I know it came out really good though. I liked exploring the options of what it could be.
Yeah.
Scottish folklore again.
It was going to be an episode one day or another.
We got to get out of Scotland, though.
Yeah.
I've been seeing this pattern. Like, man.
You say like we go there all the time. We got two episodes there.
The Kelpies, now the Loch Ness Monster, and the Wraith. Scotland.
That was Colorado.
But still, it's a Scottish thing. I'm just
it's Colorado.
All right. Maybe I'm stretching. But anyway.
We talked about it. It was spoken about on that episode. So I could see how, it's in the airwaves.
But now Nessie has been explored.
Yes. And hey, if you want to have control of upcoming topics and you want to vote on things and you want bonus content, head over to our Patreon. We had a couple of tiers, three to be exact. We have the Abducted, we have Bizarros, and we have the Dedicated tiers. So if you want some bonus content, you want to be able to have some control on the podcast and pick up some cool extra merch, head over to patreon.com, search Bleeding the Bizarre, and see if there's anything there you like. And we would appreciate it, and we're excited to keep putting out this bonus content.
And if you're not, always going to have free episodes.
Always.
And if you like what you hear, first time you listen, that's great. Thank you for joining us. And if you don't mind, could you please leave a review and 5 stars?
Yep. Unless you listen on Spotify, then just keep listening on Spotify. Subscribe, but we appreciate you. But so thank you for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Bleeding the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.